The title of today's message is The Night is Far Spent. The Night is Far Spent. And if you would please turn in your Bibles, we're going to be looking at several scriptures this morning. And if you would please turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Thank you, Lord. This is one of those Sundays. It's good if you have your Bible with you, because we're going to be Philippian all over the Bible here. Philippian. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 8. This is Paul the apostle speaking, and he says, "Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber." You know, 9/11 was a wake-up call to America. It was a wake-up call. There are wake-up calls going on all around us, if we only have the ears to hear and the eyes to see. "The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Look at verse 12. "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently and in the daytime." The night is far spent. The night is far spent. We need to put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. How do we go about putting aside the deeds of darkness? What does that break down to in today's world, in today's English, in today's church? How do we go about doing that? Well, one of the ways we do that is through confession. I believe with all my heart. It's just like my heart is beating. There's a message with every beat of my heart that I know is from the Spirit of God, and it's a message of consecration. It's a message of God's people doing business with God. God's people coming into right relationship with God. And we do that not by ignoring or denying the areas in our life that we're missing the mark. We do that by confessing and saying, I fail, I fall, I have a weakness, I need help, I need prayer, I need in this particular area. And if we'll pray that prayer, it may not be overnight, but if you sincerely pray to God to put somebody in your life that's trustworthy enough for you to go to, the Bible says, confess our sins one to another. That's what the Bible says. And many times people don't do that because they've been hurt, they tried it, somebody that they confessed a sin, the person that they trusted betrayed their trust and blabbed all over the church, or blabbed all over town, or betrayed a confidence. And so people then just stuff the stuff. And they become bound because they don't do what the Bible says to do. The Bible says to confess our sins one to another, to pray one for another. And as we do that, we're casting off the deeds of darkness. We're casting off the deeds of darkness. To be a person that is sensitive to the workings of God, that to be quick to repent, to be sensitive to the wooings and the workings of the Holy Spirit. If we will ask the Lord to show us the areas in our life that are displeasing to Him, He will do so. He will do so. With all of us. None of us have arrived. That's how we throw off the deeds of darkness. By asking the Holy Spirit to help us, to give us the understanding of shedding light in our spirit man for those areas that are dark. And then to ask for the Holy Spirit's help to lead us and guide us, to confess it, yes, to God, but also if God blesses us with people in our life that are trustworthy, to confess and to pray for one another. And then to turn from those things. To turn from those things. Do you know in Matthew 24 and 39, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus is speaking and He's talking about what it's going to be like before the Son of Man comes, before He returns. And Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, the Bible says that every inclination of man's heart was only evil all the time. Wow. And that God actually, when mankind had become so sinful, He actually wished He hadn't created man. That's how grieved the Holy Spirit was. And we don't have to look very far and we don't have to look very hard to recognize that the days are becoming more and more and more evil. It's becoming more and more like the days of Noah. It's not just liberal judges that are condoning gay marriages. That's not where the real evil is. You know where the real evil is? It's in the church. That's why the judgment of God begins in the church. There are churches that where there are billions of dollars being thrown around in courtrooms because of pedophiles that have been the ones holding out the bread of life and molesting children. What did Jesus say about such as those? He said it would be better if they were never born. Be better if they were never born. Be better if they had a millstone tied around their neck and were thrown into the bottom of the sea than to hurt one of my little ones. Even in the prisons, even on the devil's playground, where murderers and rapists and burglars and those convicted of armed robbery have a certain measure of respect on the compound, pedophiles are looked at like scum. Even in the prisons. And yet in the largest Christian denomination in the world, the evil of pedophilia run rampant through the church. It's a wicked time in which we live. It's wicked. And we become so desensitized as we watch the news. Oh, there's another one. There's another major denomination. I was in a meeting yesterday sitting next to a man. I'll just come out and tell you, it's not gossip, it's just the news. Everybody heard about the Episcopal Church approving the ordination of a gay bishop. Now don't get me wrong. I believe personally that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been far more guilty of gay bashing. I don't believe that people that are desiring a relationship with God, if they're bound by homosexuality and they want to be set free, they should be welcomed. They should be welcomed and received and prayed for, just like somebody else that may be bound by some other sin or bondage. And if they repent and if they're delivered, then I personally believe they should be ordained if they're called by God. They repent of that lifestyle. In the very same way a drug addict or an alcoholic, if they repent and they're forgiven and they leave that lifestyle, why should they be any less qualified than any of us to be ordained and to serve the Lord in ministry? I don't believe that. But to flagrantly practice homosexuality and be in a relationship where you're living with your boyfriend, man on man, and to have the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ say, we approve this. We believe that the church should be more accepting, more tolerant. It's a wicked time in which we live. It's a wicked time in which we live. And I was in a meeting yesterday at Kairos where a brother that he just had to leave the Episcopal Church. He said, I had to leave. I'm a Christian. He became a Christian only in the year 2000. He's a baby Christian. And it hurt this man's walk with the Lord, his church. He's a baby Christian. He's smaller in the Lord than Elisha is on the earth, and yet he knows enough to know that's not right. Something's wrong. He's without a church. He's without a church. And don't get me wrong, we have been a part of different churches, and there are different seasons and different churches, and this is not, you know, the Taliban or where people are held hostage, but if you're between churches, you know where you are? You're in the road. That's where you are. You're in the road. That's where people get run over. It's true. If you're between church, you need to seek the Lord. Jesus said, you'll hear my voice. He said, you'll hear my voice. You need to hear his voice. You need to get plugged in. You need to get connected. You need to get under the shelter of God and get connected with the body of Christ. When the devil comes, and there is a devil, and Jesus spoke of him and said he's out to steal, kill, and destroy, he goes after the sheep that are not hooked up with the flock. It's what he does. It's what he does. Because he's a slime ball. He's a slime ball. And he's going to go to that sheep that's away from the flock. And first he starts with lies. And then he starts with his robbery and steals the joy, and steals the peace, and robs the love of God out of the heart. And then he's out to kill. That's his M.O. Wicked times in which we live. The wicked times. We need to put on the armor of light. We need to consecrate ourselves. Do you know the term Ichabod means the glory has departed? And do you know when you study the scriptures and you read the life of Adam and Eve after they sinned, the Bible says that then they recognized that they were naked. What, were they brain dead? Did they not realize that they were naked? It's believed that they were clothed in light. There was such the glory of God. When God said, let us create man in our image, he created man, and man was a glorious creature, man and woman. So glorious, I believe the glory of God shone with such a brightness, it was like their clothing was the light of his glory that shone out of them. And when they sinned and they fell, that light went dim. And they were, whoa, what is going on here? That's where the fig leaf came from. You know? It's true. It's true. We need the light of God. We need the Holy Spirit to light us up. We need the light of God in our life. You know, one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen when Scott and a couple of us went out to catch sailfish a year or two ago, we were out, and I forget who sailfish, I guess we've seen a few sailfish. Jimmy caught a sailfish. Who else caught it? Scott caught a sailfish. Forget who else. We've seen a Doug. Did Doug catch a sailfish? Anyway, we saw a few sailfish caught over a few different trips, but when you bring a sailfish in, it's the most beautiful thing, not only to see them jump out of the water and to see a sailfish in the wild, but when you bring them right up to the boat, they call it being lit up. The sailfish is brilliant in color. The colors that emanate from the sailfish, and they say, look, it's lit up. It's lit up. When that sailfish is fighting, when it's in the fight, it's all lit up. It's all lit up. It's a beautiful thing to see. And see, as Christians are energized by the Spirit of God, as they get in the fight, as they get in the fight of faith, the Spirit of God works in the very same way. It's a beautiful and awesome thing to see people lit up by the Spirit of God. It's just like that sailfish. We need the light of God. We need to be lit up by the Holy Spirit. We need the armor of light. As we worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. How I enjoyed worship this morning. I know I sound like a broken record. I'm just telling you from my heart, I appreciate the worship. I appreciate the opportunities that I personally have to come and to enter in and to worship. Yes, freedom reigns in this place. Freedom from ego. Freedom from a performance mentality. Freedom from bickering between members of the worship team. Freedom from some egotistical worship leader. I once asked Gabriel Haymans, a prophet, I asked him, have you ever had difficulty with a worship leader? He said, I've never had a worship leader where I've not had difficulty. I'm just telling, that's what he said. I've got a worship leader. Got no difficulty. Do you know what a treasure it is that's right in our midst to worship the Lord with worshipers that have humble, hungry hearts? Do you know what a gift that is? Go take a tour of the churches. Take a few months off. Go around. Take a survey. Pray. Ask the Lord to give you insight. Get to know some of the people. Find out some of the stuff that goes on in the church. It'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. Some people's faith has been shipwrecked because of doing just that. But we're blessed to be able to worship the Lord. Jesus told the woman at the well that the Father is looking for those that will worship in spirit and in truth, not in performance and ego, but spirit and in truth. And to worship to an audience of one. And to be connected with a group of people that are committed to doing the same thing. Please don't fall into the trick of the devil to come in and fall into some kind of spectator mentality. It's a trick of the devil. It's running rampant through the church. There's a spectator mentality. Worship is not a spectator sport. You don't have to be up in the front with a guitar and a microphone to worship the Lord. You can be in the far corners of the church and you can have a holy encounter with the Lord of glory as you focus your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and you do what the Word of God says to do. When they're singing a song, I will lift up my hands, well then lift up your hands. I will lift up my voice, lift up your voice. I will clap my hands, well clap your hands. Won't hurt you. Why is it we can go to a Buccaneer game or a Miami Dolphins game and paint our face purple and turn our hair green and go out in 12 degree below zero? Man, the Giants, man. If you go to a Giants game in like February in New York, you'll find guys out there, it's 14 degrees or below zero sometimes. They're out there without a shirt, you know, with their spray paint and, that's perfectly acceptable. You get those same people in the church and they... Why? Why is it? Why is it? We need to worship the Lord. We need to be people of prayer. I just loved the offering teaching last night. I'm sorry, I just really did. Where Annette was used of the Lord and she was talking about the blind man who was led of the Lord to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And she was talking about this word being like the pool. And how Jesus directs us to dive in. And as we do, as we dive in, we get cleansed. And we begin to see some things we haven't seen. Isn't that what the Spirit of God does in each of our lives? Aren't we all like blind men that once couldn't see, but the Spirit of God opens our eyes? What kind of joy did that man have? Never seen before, and now he can see. I was blind, but now I see. Each of us, if we're born again, we can say the same thing. Things that we couldn't see before are visible to us because of the workings of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, without the help of the Holy Spirit, this word is meaningless. You can have an IQ of 160. You can memorize this whole book, and it's just a dead letter of the law. But when the Holy Spirit quickens, when the Holy Spirit gives us insight and activates, it becomes alive. It becomes alive. It's exciting. It's refreshing. It's exhilarating. It's God's word to us, His love letter to us. We put on the armor of light by gathering with other Christians. Praise God. And we all need to have non-Christian friends. Pity the Christian who only hangs with Christians. Such often become judgmental, religious. Some of the meanest people I know on the earth are Christians. Mean, religious, judgmental Christians who look down their self-righteous noses and don't have the love of God in their heart. If the love of God is in your heart, you can feel perfectly comfortable hanging with a heathen who's using four-letter words. How many of you all have seen that program, Dog, the bounty hunter? You guys got to check this show out, man. There's this radical born-again bounty hunter by the name of Dog. His name is Dog Chapman. I think you can find it on A&E. We saw it one. I only saw two programs, but it's on at 10 o'clock at night. Anyway, the guy's radically saved, but he's a little rough around the edges. You know what I mean? A little rough, just to say he's a little rough around the edges. But you'll enjoy the show, I think. If you get a chance, check it out. But we need to have the love of God in our heart and praise God for opportunities to gather together with other Christians. Yes, at church services, how it blesses me to see hungry people. It's not about being religious, you know. You can get religious and you can get routine and it can become just rote to you if you're not in love with the Holy Spirit. But if you're in love with the Holy Spirit, then you don't come to church out of obligation. You come out of celebration. We talked to a woman at the Place of Grace. My wife had a word for her last year. She had a word for this woman. Her name is Margie. About how God, she had no earthly knowledge of this. She just felt the Spirit of God tell this woman that you're called to be a support to the pastors here. Well, a year later, we go back there and my wife sees her and says, "How you doing? Are you still at this church?" And the woman says, "Yes." She says, "I'm the pillar of the church." So they couldn't run me out of here. They couldn't run me out of here. Yeah. But it's a God thing. It takes the Holy Spirit to be able to come together in a spirit of celebration. Not out of some dead religious obligation, but a true spirit of celebration. And not just in church, but outside of the church, not just Sunday morning or Tuesday night or Wednesday night, but through the week to grab a lunch or grab a breakfast or grab a cup of coffee with another believer. Just to spend time to encourage one another. Go to a home group if you can. Get hooked up with a prayer partner. Get hooked up with an accountability brother or sister. It gives us the fire and the light we need to put on the armor of light, to be a witness for the Lord. To be a witness as the Spirit of God prompts you. As you witness your faith to others, you will have a joy. 1 John 1:4, John the Beloved says, "We write this to you so that our joy will be complete." As you begin to tell others what Jesus means to you, you will find your joy level going up, 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 up. To be a witness for the Lord. To be a witness for the Lord. We're living in dark times. We're living in dark times. Turn with me, if you would please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Help me, Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. Paul is writing to his spiritual son Timothy and he says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." Does that not read like today's newspaper? Reads like the front page of the USA Today. That's the times we're living in. These are those times that Paul was talking about. You know, when Hurricane Francis hit and the power went out in our house at night, with our living room boarded up, it was very dark in the room. It was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of you. And we would light one candle, and because it was so dark, that one candle lit up the whole room. You see, so this is not a message for doomsday prophets. This is an exciting time to be alive. This is a very exciting time to be alive. You can take a big flashlight and go out in the noonday sun and you can hardly see its light. But you get in a dark, dark room, a little candle's all you need, and you can light the whole place up. So it is in the times in which we live. These are dark times in which we live. Just takes a little light to light up the darkness. Just takes a little light to light up a whole room. These are dark times in which we're living. Turn with me, please, back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. You know, I have a crazy prayer for America. I pray that there would be as many Christians that would come out of the closet as there are homosexuals. Why is it? We live in such a time, it's vogue, it's popular, it's acceptable to come out of the closet and say, I'm gay. And I'm proud of it. Gay rights, hallelujah. But you come out and you proclaim that you have faith in the living Lord Jesus, and all of a sudden people cringe. It's the times in which we live. I'm 50 years old, and I can tell you, 20, 30 years ago, even as a Christian 25 years ago, it wasn't like this. The times are getting darker and darker right before our eyes. Right before our eyes. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Oh, how I wish every Christian would be able to get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and say with their heart, Romans 1, 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Look at verse 18. Think of the times we're living in. Think of 9/11. Think of all the hurricanes. Think of all the tornadoes. Think of all the mudslides. Think of the volcanoes that are going off. The wildfires. It's all around us. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. It's so plain that even the insurance companies, they say it's an act of God if a tornado hits your house. It's plain. Look at verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. God's power is made plain for the whole world to see. We saw pictures of where Hurricane Ivan hit Pensacola with 130 mile an hour winds and buildings were toppled. My, that's 130 mile an hour winds. How mighty is God who rules over the winds. Proverbs 30 says He holds the winds in His hands and the waters in His robe. How mighty is our God! Hurricane Francis generated the greatest evacuation in the history of Florida. The last figure I heard was 2.8 million people were evacuated. There's not going to be any place to run when the stars start to fall from the sky like figs from a tree. There won't be any evacuation plan from Hurricane Jesus. These are just the birth pains. We're just starting to see the birth pains. The wrath of God is beginning to be revealed. This is just a warm-up. We haven't even had the appetizer. The Tampa Tribune, there was a meteorologist we saw. He predicted, in the next 10 to 30 years, there's going to be a hyperactivity in hurricanes. More and more powerful. More and more frequent. Wreaking more and more havoc. The same is true with the tornadoes that are going all over the place. Do a study. Look at what's happening in the world with earthquakes. Just go on the internet. Do a little research on how many earthquakes are taking place around the world. It'll blow your mind. You see, if it doesn't affect us, if it doesn't stop me from getting my apple juice at Publix, and as long as they got the products I need, we just have a deaf ear to what's going on around us. Hear me. I believe this is from the Lord. When my daughter Connie was born, we didn't know my wife was in labor. We didn't know. We had gone to Lamaze classes. We had read the books, and we thought we understood. We thought we were going to recognize the labor pains, but we didn't recognize the labor pains. When we finally got to the hospital, she was 8 centimeters dilated. Had the baby 40 minutes later. I'm telling you, that's a picture of the church. We're in labor, folks. These are the birth pains. And just like my wife that was in labor and we didn't recognize it was labor, this earth is in labor. He's coming back soon. It's happening around us. Whether we're 8 centimeters dilated or 9 centimeters, this baby is crowning. He's about to be crowned the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's coming soon. It's coming soon. Sooner than we think. Sooner than we think. Look at the hurricanes. Look at the earthquakes. Look at the tornadoes. Look at the mudslides. Look at the wildfires. Look at the storm surges. At the Place of Grace, just 2 or 3 nights ago, we were talking to a woman who had family that lived on Ormond Beach, her daughter. And they were in an apartment building on Ormond Beach, living in the 4th floor. And they were bailing water out of their living room. How many of you know that'll change your perspective for what you're going to do the rest of the week? You know what I'm saying? God has a way of getting our attention. He has to knock the power out and get that remote control out of our hand. Whatever He has to do, He's going to get our attention. He will be praised. He will be praised. You know how wicked the heart of man is? Look at the horrendous atrocity that took place on 9/11, how almost 3,000 people were killed, and America almost repented for 2 weeks. What's it going to take? I believe that we are on the eve of the greatest revival that is going to sweep the globe, that's going to dwarf the book of Acts when the Spirit of God is poured out with power and glory, first from within the church and then just on the street corners. I believe it's coming. But what's it going to take to jumpstart that revival? Is it going to take a nuclear bomb going off in Los Angeles or New York? Or Miami, or Tampa. You can look at the secular news. You can listen to some of the military experts in our country. They don't say that it's possible. They say it's probable. It's a matter of when that's going to happen. These are the secular military analysts. And they say that it will make 9/11 look like a toothache. Can you imagine? You wake up in the morning, if you're fortunate enough, not to live in that city. And you turn on the news and you don't see an airliner going into a building. You see a mushroom cloud or two or three. There are times coming. They're upon us. They're here. We need to wake up. The church is asleep. The church is in denial. The church in America, I believe, is personally, I'm just sharing my heart. I believe it's in some of the worst condition of any part of the body of Christ on the globe today. We've been deluded, seduced. We're in bed with materialism. We've sold out the riches of God's Word to chase after things and comforts and conveniences and entertainments and pleasures. The tidal waves, the deadly pestilences that the Bible talked about, they're here. They're here. People die from encephalitis. They get bit by a mosquito and their brain swells up and they die. I can't help but see. I'm not talking about people being punished by God for their sins. I'm talking about, do you see the calamity of it? Do you see how we can have nuclear arms that can destroy the world and yet God says, I'll take you out with a mosquito. We could be taken out by a mosquito. Yeah. A plague of mosquito. One mosquito could kill you. Do you know the smallest organism known to man? Is a virus. Look at what the AIDS virus is doing. It's the smallest organism. It's microscopic. It's the smallest organism known to man. And the HIV virus is killing one out of four black Africans in the continent of Africa. We don't hear much about it. We've become desensitized. Even those of us who've lost loved ones to AIDS, we have become desensitized to what's happening in the earth with regards to HIV and AIDS. It's incurable diseases. It's what the Bible talked about. The Bible teaches that there were certain angels of darkness that were locked in hell. That what happened when the angels were created far before man, but Lucifer, the chief cherub, rebelled and he wanted to put himself above God and he fell. And the Bible says that a third of the angels fell with him. Those are demons. And it says there that some of those angels have been locked up in hell. And the Bible teaches that in the last days, they will be released upon the earth. I believe it's happening right before our eyes. I believe that AIDS is one of those devils that have been unleashed from hell and are going through the earth just wreaking havoc, killing and stealing and destroying lives. I believe abortion is another such devil. I believe homosexuality and the rampant acceptance of perversion is another one of those devils from hell that are running through the earth, wreaking havoc right before our eyes, and the church sleeps. The Bible talks about famines in the last day. Look what's happening in the Sudan. We as a people have become so desensitized. As long as we got food in our belly and cold water in our refrigerator, it really doesn't trouble us so much that billions of people on the planet are going to bed hungry. That people are starving. There are famines all over the earth in unprecedented proportions. There are incurable diseases. We're living in the last days. Look at Matthew chapter 24 quickly. Matthew chapter 24. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. We need to put on the armor of light. We need to quit playing church. We need to get about our Father's business. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Only what we do in Christ will last. Only what we do in Christ will last. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. I tell you, watch out that no one deceives you, myself included. Study the Scriptures. Look what Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says. The Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. They received Paul's preaching with eagerness, and then they went home and they studied the Scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. Don't take my word for it. Please don't. Please read your Bible. Please pray. Please ask for the Holy Spirit to confirm the truth in your life. Jesus said, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many." Isn't that what Jim Jones did? Isn't that what Sung Young Moon is doing with the Moonies? Isn't that happening right around us? You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Hear that. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. This is not a time to draw back. This is not a time for the church to be afraid. This is not a time for us to bow before doomsday prophets. This is a time for us to put on the armor of light. You know, back in my drinking days, if I could get a few drinks in my belly and get some liquid courage, I wasn't afraid of anything or anyone. And so it is with the new wine of God. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be given over to fear. You don't have to fear any hurricane or tornado. You can know that you know that you know that greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If there's ever been a time that the church needs a drink of the new wine, it's today. It's today. Take a drink. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Paul says, "Be not drunk on wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God." We are going to be coming into a time, I believe, that only those Christians who are drinking of the Spirit of God, only those Christians who are taking to heart His Word. It's not a suggestion when Paul says, "Be filled with the Spirit of God." He doesn't say if you feel like it. He doesn't say if you feel led. He doesn't say if you're personal church endorses that kind of theology. He says, be filled with the Spirit, because you're going to need the Spirit of God. And when you have the Spirit of God, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you don't have to give way to fear. You don't have to walk and be alarmed. What does Jesus say? He says, don't be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pains. It's happening now. There are famines, there are earthquakes, there are hurricanes, there are tornadoes, there are mudslides, there are wildfires, there are pestilences, there are incurable diseases round about us. There's a great apostasy happening in the church right before our eyes. No, it's not a numerical apostasy. But the words of Jesus, where He said, "They confess me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." It's happening. It's an apostasy of apathy, and it's happening round about us. It's happening right before our eyes. This earth is in labor. He's coming back soon. We need to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Turn with me quickly, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, Paul says, "Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed." Isn't that what Jesus said? Don't be alarmed. Yes, there's dark days ahead. But praise God, our Deliverer is coming. Praise God, we're about to be snatched off the planet. Praise God, we don't have to fear the devil or anything he can throw at us, not to be easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you. Isn't that what Jesus just said? Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness, speaking of the Antichrist, is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you of these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. Look at verse 7. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one depths of hell. And He lives inside of you. He lives inside of you. The Spirit of the living God. Yes, we're salt of the earth. Salt preserves. Salt brings healing. And once the King of Glory cracks the eastern sky and we're snatched off the face of this earth, oh my, my, my. If these are the birth pains, if the stuff we're seeing coming more and more and more frequently and more intensely are just the birth pains, wow. Wait until we're airlifted out of here and see what's going to hit this planet. Ephesians chapter 5. I'll close with this. Thank you, Lord. Night is far spent. Day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 8. Paul says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." We need to be filled with the Spirit. That's what Paul is talking about when he talks about putting on the armor of light. We need to be filled with the Spirit.